You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, Congress is debating another economic stimulus package as a lifeline for people out of work is set to expire. About a month ago, we talked with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He tamped down any notion that Wisconsin would continue the $600 weekly federal payments with state dollars.
We should know sometime in July the actual state of our budget, but we certainly don't have the ability to replace the money that the federal government's borrowed.
Meanwhile, a state claims processing backlog. Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites still await unemployment benefits. Are you in the adjudication process with your claim being investigated? Are you unclear of the status of your claim? How has the system worked for you? We're at 800-642-1234. Caleb Frostman is Secretary of the State Department of Workforce Development. Secretary Frostman, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Why does a backlog of claims still exist 19 weeks after the initial surge in filings?
Good question. So there's a couple different things. I've been obviously a lot of sleepless nights staring at the ceiling and thinking about the things that we're working on and some of the factors involved. And, you know, first and foremost, it's been an extraordinary number of claims that have come through in Wisconsin. Through last week, we received about 4.6 million weeks of unemployment claimed in the state. And that compares to about 1.6 million in all of last year. So in 4 months' time, we had about three times as many claims. And then second is Wisconsin's got a really complicated set of UI laws that determine what needs to be adjudicated as far as eligibility in this state. And so that's a real challenge to dig through all those complicated laws for that many people. And then third is just the thing we've talked about a lot also is our IT infrastructure. So the three pieces there that, are influencing this, really are, creating that situation where we've got more claims than ever before. And then saddled with a really complicated set of laws that determine who needs to be adjudicated and who doesn't. And then you throw on the top of that a 50-year-old IT mainframe. We've got some pretty serious challenges to work through. We're making progress, which is great.
All right. So looking at the adjudication, which is that investigation process, it typically takes 21 days to go through that. What is it taking now?
So I think on an average, and this includes people that are get through right away that don't include adjudication, our average is 22 days. But for adjudication, it's a little bit longer. I don't have the exact number, but it's definitely longer than that 22 days. And we are working in order of oldest claims first, which is getting those folks that have claimed earlier on paid more quickly, which also helps release later weeks, because if we adjudicate a claim, it's for every week that someone has claimed. So if someone started one earlier, we clear all weeks at the same time. So that is having the effect of getting those earliest weeks paid first. But, it's certainly longer than it's been before, based on that incredible volume that we're seeing.
When will DWD catch up?
So we're hopeful both on a return to timeliness, getting back to that 21 days, getting back to a place where we can return vendors. So we've brought on three different vendors, totaling multiple hundred people, I think around eight or 900 vendor staff, and then also get through some of the federal programs for which folks are applying. Somewhere in the end of summer timeframe, where we've been quoted as August through October for different timeliness pieces, the return of our vendors, but we're looking at that end of summer timeframe, like I said, August to October for turning back vendors, and probably somewhere in the middle of that.
All right, let's take a call now. Tammy is with us from Mason. Tammy, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today? I hope you're safe.
Yes, you too, Tammy. What is your question?
Okay. I got a question. Okay, I'm married, and I don't live with my husband. We're doing that stuff. But he gets his benefits before me, and I got two children. I don't even get food share, no health care, nothing. And so why is that?
And Tammy, are you on Social Security disability insurance?
No. I'm just on SSI.
You're just on SSI. Okay.
And he's on SSI, and he gets all these benefits, and I don't get anything.
All right, Secretary Frostman, any insights?
Sure. I mean, everyone's case is going to be different. We've got different specifics that require adjudication, some that don't. And so generally speaking, and this is just an average, but on any given week, About 75% of new or weekly claims are resolved, whether they're paid or denied, and that 25% gets held. And that depends on someone's work history, the circumstances of their separations from work in the last 18 months. And so a lot of those folks do receive payment within sometimes a week of their weekly claim or their initial claim if they file and are approved, whereas some other folks might have multiple separations that need to be adjudicated. It really depends on each person's individual circumstance and how Wisconsin law relates to what needs to be adjudicated.
We're on the cusp of the end of the $600 weekly unemployment benefits that expire at the end of the month. Should Congress extend those benefits?
Sure. And they actually expired on Saturday.
Saturday.
At least, yeah, for FPUC, which is an extra $600 a week. And Governor Evers and this administration are in support of extending the FPUC program. In Wisconsin, whether you get unemployment insurance or the federal program PUA, the maximum you can get is $370 a week. And so it's hard to imagine many Wisconsin families being able to manage and stay afloat on a maximum of $370 a week. And it's not just those families. It's our community's economy that rely on that consumer spending. And so it's really challenging to envision 8, 9, or 10% of Wisconsin's workforce being unemployed and trying to A, keep themselves afloat, and B, keep our state's economy afloat on only $370 a week. So we've been supportive of extending the FPUC program as is at the $600 a week to help keep our economy afloat. And we've seen, of course, different proposals come from different houses out in D.C. and the White House as well. So we're hopeful that FPUC can be extended as is so we can keep Wisconsin's families and our economy afloat.
We've heard from our callers and guests concerns about this benefit, discouraging workers from returning to their jobs. Here's Chef Luke Zong from the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua.
I have some employees that are making more consistent money and steady money than they did when they were working. And I don't think that that's, Ruthie and I really carry that piece in our heart, but that's, we actually pay pretty well for our restaurant.
So, Secretary, are unemployment benefits hurting our economy's ability to bounce back?
So I think it's a balance. And when we talk about, the inputs into gross domestic product, consumer spending is a big piece of that. And so that's one of the pieces that we want to keep as steady as possible. And it's interesting when you look, if someone gets the maximum, if they get the maximum in the state, comes out to about $24 an hour if you do that over the course of a year. But that doesn't include an employer retirement contribution. It doesn't include any health insurance contribution. And in Wisconsin, if you refuse to return to work, that makes you ineligible for unemployment insurance. And so, people, if they have to make it on that dollar amount with all of those other considerations, and also knowing that FPUC is temporary, we've had discussions with employers around the state about, we have to make sure that wages are competitive, and that if, people really are, if that is the case, and we certainly haven't conceded that, but if that is the case, then, folks need to take a close, long, hard look at their wages to make sure that they're competitive. And the other important piece, two pieces about FPUC is, one, it was meant to be a stimulus in nature, and two, it's meant to be temporary. So folks are still making the decision knowing that FPUC is not going to be going on forever. Then I think there's some further looking that needs to happen.
Talking about the economy and unemployment with Caleb Frostman, head of the State Department of Workforce Development. Let's take another call now. Ray is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Hi, I'm a union member, and years back I used unemployment during the downtimes of the year. And unemployment at that time had a kind of a quick way to file each week. If from the previous week you still have not worked at all, everything is, all your questions are going to answer are the exact same from the week before. Unemployment here in Wisconsin would send you a numerical code that you could put into the website so you didn't have to answer the same 20 silly questions every week that you are answering the same way. Like for me now, it's the last 4 months. As a stagehand, we have not worked a single day in 4 months, but every week I got to go to the website and answer these same silly 20 questions, which are the exact same from last week. Why did you get rid of that shortcut for us?
Secretary?
So I don't have a great answer for that. I don't know the specifics of what the caller is talking about as far as that code or what has changed or when it changed. But we certainly, you know, it's our position that, you know, unemployment insurance should be really straightforward and uncomplicated. And then if you're out of work through no fault of your own, that should be the litmus test as to your eligibility. And so we certainly continue to look at all of our online claims portals for new claims, for older claims, or sorry, for recurring claims, and, you know, what that burden looks like for claimants, and certainly want to make that as simple as possible going forward.
State Senator Dale Coinga suggests that Wisconsin use virtual agents to handle simple claims questions in, like, Colorado is doing. What do you sense there with virtual agents?
We did implement a chatbot relatively early in this process. I think it came on either in May or June, I don't recall, but the chatbot has been utilized answering a lot of questions, the more simple questions regarding eligibility, sorry, not eligibility, but some of the determinants of eligibility, how to file one's claim. And so we've seen decent usage on that chatbot. And then, you know, part of our ramping up as far as staffing efforts have been on some of those, you know, the call agents have been split up into two tiers, one of which is more simple answers and questions, the other, you know, being more complicated. And we do have more, at this point, more people on that tier one, which is your, you know, more easily answerable questions, helping people understand the application process. And so we've been doing our best to make sure we can provide good customer service for all those folks out there filing for UI.
We have Workforce Development Secretary Caleb Frostman on the line as we discuss the backlog of unemployment claims. Have you tried calling the unemployment benefit hotline? Are you clear on the status of your claim? Has filing a claim been seamless for you? Do you have tips for filing unemployment claims for others? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's continue our conversation now with Workforce Development Secretary Caleb Frostman. His agency has come under criticism in recent months for not keeping up with the deluge of unemployment claims that was caused by the economic fallout from the pandemic. Let's take another call now. Mike is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Howdy. I used to work for DWD. I work for somebody else now. Since Act 10, state wages have fallen further and further behind inflation. A lot of people who had planned on continuing a career with the state have retired or gone somewhere where they can get paid better and be respected more. And now you're hiring all these vendors, which is a euphemism for temp agencies, who are amateurs. They are outsiders. They are, in some cases, I am told by people who are still with DWD, they're clowns. They do not have the training and expertise that the people you have lost over the years had, or the people that you managed to retain still have. And I'd like to see that addressed in terms of improved wages and not having a situation where you're treated as a temp yourself.
Mike, thank you. Secretary Frostman, can you explain more about these vendors and the work crisis perhaps inside DWD itself?
Sure. Well, we've brought on, when we started COVID-19, we had about 500 employees in unemployment insurance within DWD. Since that time, including hires into the department, some intergovernmental reassignments, and bringing on vendors, that number has risen to about 1,900, so we've almost quadrupled. And of course, the vendors we brought on are meant to be temporary in nature, but we have hired 325 people into the agency. And it is, you know, about most important to us, and that's evidenced by the governor's first two executive orders talking about the dignity and the importance of state employees. And our employees are our best resource. And in our darkest days, when we're, you know, stressed out and under fire, I can't help but feel grateful for the ingenuity, the endurance, the selflessness and humility of our staff to do this work day in and day out for less than wonderful wages under public scrutiny, and they do this work because they care and they want to help people. And, you know, as a leader of this agency, that's, I think, what I'm most grateful for is the people we work with. But we had to bring on additional people, lots of them, very quickly to deal with the deluge. And our vendors, whether it's adjudication, claims processing around the phones, have been great partners, and they are meant to be temporary in nature.
How much oversight do you have of the vendors and the work they do?
Quite a bit. So we have meetings with them, you know, if not every day, multiple times a week to make sure we're monitoring their output, whether that's our large call center, our smaller call center for PUA applicants, or another vendor that does claims processing and adjudication for us. We watch their productivity very closely and adjust on the fly as necessary for all of our vendors.
And in training up these 325 people you've brought into DWD, how are you doing this training? How are you getting them up to speed?
That's a great question. And we've had, you know, to Mike's call, we've got some of the greatest, you know, state employees in all the nation, but definitely, you know, within the state working at DWD. And so they've been, you know, accelerating certain training timeframes, and we've got our best people, you know, training the trainers so we can kind of replicate that across our internal hires, our vendors. But that's been, you know, a part of the on-ramp process is finding these candidates, hiring them, training them, and then making sure that the people that are doing the training can still do productive work so they're not just training all the time, but we're trying to be as efficient as possible to train trainers, to replicate processes. And we have, in some cases, been able to accelerate some of those training regimens for our new hires.
State Senator John Erpenbach said the state should transfer even more workers to handle claims and expand call center hours. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss echoed those points with us last month.
The idea that we're only going to have traditional business hours, 7:30 until 5, when we have hundreds of thousands of claims waiting, is something that would never occur under a Republican administration, because we would say, look, let's work double shifts. Let's pay people overtime.
Secretary Frostman, can call center hours be expanded?
So we have expanded our call center hours. We started earlier this year, even before COVID-19. Our hours were about 7:35 to 3:30. But it's important to note that a lot of work happens after those call center hours end. But since that time, we've expanded them to from 6:15 in the morning until, I believe, 5:30 in the evening. And again, you know, we have a llot of processes that happen after that last 5:30, we have callbacks have to happen. We clear the queue. So that's when we stop taking new calls. Calls continue to happen past that time. And then we have to put our batch together for payment processing, which needs to occur before the ACH deadline each day for our banks to process payments for claimants. So we have expanded that. And I think the biggest piece for us has been expanding our staff so we can expand our capacity to do work on behalf of claimants. We needed to add more people and to train them, because if we didn't do that before expanding hours, we would just answer the same number of phone calls over a longer period of time. So now we have longer periods of time in which we are answering a higher volume of calls. So, you know, that was a parallel path where we had to add additional staff, train them, after which we could certainly expand hours, and we have.
We're discussing unemployment with Workforce Development Secretary Caleb Frostman, handling jobless claims and providing work search programs. Let's take another call now. Frank is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Frank.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is whether you allow staff to call back when, through no fault of their own, the person calling in gets cut off. After waiting more than almost 2 hours for a Tier 1 rep, my situation was then forwarded to a Tier 2 rep, and they took the same information, all your ID, including your phone number, and then before we could get something resolved, my question resolved, I got disconnected. So I lost 2 hours without anything getting resolved, and I expected, well, they've got my phone number. Are they going to call me back? And they never did, so I gave up. Mm. So are they allowed to call you back? They've got your information.
Secretary?
Sure, sir. Yep, so we have been scheduling callbacks from our DWD staff, and Frank, I'm sorry you got dropped, and we've been trying to make sure that those transfers are quicker, and they have improved drastically over the last few weeks. Generally speaking, on any given day, with the exception of sometimes Monday, we are answering more phone calls than people are calling us or talking to multiple people multiple times a day, and we've seen a precipitous drop in our call wait times, But one of the requirements for our call centers, we wanted to be able to schedule callbacks. But we can certainly look into if someone is specifically dropped. I don't know what the protocol is to make a phone call back. We certainly schedule them back at times when people have availability, but we can certainly look into that.
Earlier this month, there was the report from the Legislative Audit Bureau that found that a glitch caused about $21 million to be overpaid in benefits, and DWD says many of the payments were recovered. What steps is the department taking to prevent future errors?
Sure. So we've since onboarded two new federal programs, and our testing prior to launching FPUC showed no glitches, showed no errors, and obviously that wasn't the case. We've been doing more thorough testing on federal programs as they come through, kind of a belt and suspenders approach to make sure that that doesn't happen again. We've also implemented policies at the suggestion of myself, of DOA, of LAB, to make sure that those type of errors don't happen again.
Republicans and Democrats in the legislature unveiled proposals, addressing the issues here. Republicans want the state to issue forgivable loans to people waiting weeks for their claims. Do you support that step?
So we're really focused on DWD paying every eligible claim as quickly as possible. And so our resources of time and energy are focused on making sure that we process the claims that are in the queue and get that caseload back to timeliness and making sure that folks get paid as quickly as possible.
Really quickly here, Governor Evers ordered state agencies to cut $250 million in spending because of lower tax collections. Will DWD be affected by these cuts?
So we've continued to talk to DOA and to all of our partner agencies. And I think a lot of agencies have difficult discussions to make. I know the governor commented on this last week. And with the economic impacts of COVID, it definitely affects our revenues. So I anticipate we'll have some tough decisions to make, and DWD will, maybe be in that group. But we continue to talk to the budget office, DOA, and the governor's team to make the most fiscally responsible decisions as possible.
Secretary Frostman, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Have a great day.
You too. Caleb Frostman, Secretary of the State Department of Workforce Development. Just ahead, we learn about a national research project aimed at studying the coronavirus and other diseases. Are you participating in the All of Us Research Project? What questions do you hope researchers tackle? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.